Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 45. My name is John. Hold me up to those whom you've deceived. Promises you break, you still believe. I'm going to follow up on some things that I talked about on last month's podcast. But first, something completely off the wall. Last month, of course, I recorded the podcast from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And if you'll recall, my wife Gina was asleep in the motel room while I was overlooking the Atlantic Ocean recording the podcast. Well, just after that was finished, she woke up, and of course, you know, morning, we're hungry, we want some breakfast. Well, there had been this little place that I had heard about, everybody was talking about, called Duck Donuts. It's a chain of donut shops on the Outer Banks. I think there's four of them. They just opened their fifth. And everybody was raving about how good these things were. So I figured, okay, well, we'll give Duck Donuts a try. I got back from vacation a month and a half ago, and I have yet to eat another donut. Because these damn things were so good, nothing else is worth it anymore. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts, Shipley's, Krispy Kreme, none of them compare. Okay, I will give a slight nod to Krispy Kreme if you get their donuts right away, if they're fresh and hot. That might be comparable, but that's it. That's the list. You know how you go to a donut shop and you get a cake donut, and it's usually pretty, you know, thick and heavy kind of a donut? Imagine, if you will, a nice, light, fluffy yellow cake. A good quality cake. Airy and fluffy. Now imagine that with a nice, thin, crispy shell around it. Just a little hint of crispiness, not too much, because you don't want to overdo it with the donut, obviously. And then you take that, and you have your choice of dips. You could do plain, you could do powdered sugar, chocolate, you could do maple glaze with bacon on top. Yeah, that's what I had. Needless to say, these were really good. But here's the really nice thing, among all the others. You go into the shop, I went into the shop that morning, and I got four donuts. They didn't have them pre-made up on the racks like you do at any other donut shop. They have a few that are just fresh that they have just made. Maybe about two dozen of them, because it was slow, so I don't think they needed that many pre-made. But there was a small batch that were just done. They took four donuts out of that to make mine. And then they mixed up just enough batter to replace the four that I took. So it's this constant turnover of fresh donuts. You're not going to find something that's been sitting around there for too long. They were really good. And if I ever hit it big, I'm going to open up a franchise. I really believe in this place. It was really just that good. So if you ever find yourself on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, or I think the latest is up in Virginia now, but if you ever find yourself in that area and you see advertisements or any kind of information for Duck Donuts, for the love of God, go. You won't be sorry. Now, back to the previous podcast. Obviously, as I mentioned, I recorded that on October 16th. For those of you with short-term memory loss, you might not remember that the night of October the 16th, they did away with the government shutdown. So we had been worried about trying to get access to a couple of national parks, national seashores with lighthouses. And we had driven by both of them and planned our routes around the barricade. It's going to be about a mile walk to each one. In fact, for Cape Hatteras, I had planned a route through the beach, through the kind of the back entrance, and it was going to be kind of a pain in the ass, but what the hell. Turned out it was a moot point because they did away with the whole government shutdown crap and opened things up. So I got all the pictures that I wanted, and it turned out that it was a beautiful day for the pictures, so everything worked out well. Regardless of that, my point on the pettiness and the stupidity of the government to shut down those public areas stands. I don't take back a word of that. It was stupid. It was foolhardy. And I keep going back to this, but it takes such smallness, such pettiness to pull that kind of a stunt. But what do you expect from government? What do you expect from an entity that has slowly taken your rights from you? And now, when they get all pissy and upset because they're not getting their way, they throw their temper tantrum, and we're the ones that suffer for it. If you think it's bad that they would shut down public parks, imagine what happens when they get really mad if we try to defy them. And they start taking more things away. More things that we have given them control over. The best way to counteract this is to get it back. The government, just by its nature, is going to try to grow its power. We're a critical mass as it is. Unless we get them to scale back, unless we get them to return back to the proper constitutional government that we're supposed to have, where we're in charge of things, where we take care of ourselves, and where we take care of each other, we're hosed. And I know, everybody's going to go off and say, well, if the government doesn't do it, how are we going to do it? Well, we did it before without the government. We could do it again. The fact of the matter is, this whole idea that government has to be around to do things is an illusion. And yes, I know I've said it so many freaking times before, but the Constitution lays out specifically what the government should be doing. And that's all they should be doing. They shouldn't be interfering in other aspects of our lives. We can handle these things. You know, before the government stepped in, we were getting health care. I know, it's a shocker. People don't understand that because, I don't know, maybe like short-term memory loss or something. Or long-term memory loss for that matter. And I've said this before in the podcast, but we used to have a system in America where if you were sick, you stayed home, and the doctor came to you. We don't do that anymore. I mean, unless you're like super rich, I guess you could still afford to do something like that. But we've gone from a system where if you were sick, the doctor would come to you so you didn't spread your contagion to everybody else in a waiting room. To a point where now the government has to force you to buy a product which you may or may not want or may or may not be able to afford to give you inferior care to what you had previous. And if you want to get help, you go to a hospital, you sit in a waiting room, and you spread your germs around to everybody else. But what if it's not contagious? What if you have, oh, say, heart problems or some kind of other organ difficulties? Yeah, you might get help right away, or you might have to wait. And I can guarantee you, with this new system that they are putting into place, the chances of you getting treatment in time are going to decrease. How do I know this? Because they keep on telling us, oh, we need to have socialized medicine like they have over there in Europe, and look how well it works for them. But it doesn't work that well. People are waiting longer for treatments, for serious conditions. Some of them are dying while they wait. Now, that's not to say that any system we put in place here, without the stifling government control, won't have its failures. Because every system has its failures. Again, mentioned that before in previous podcasts. Every system is going to have its problems. The question then is, do you want a system where you have greater control, or do you want to have a system where you put your health, your well-being, and possibly even your life into the hands of a group of bureaucrats who have no fucking idea how to handle your health? Shouldn't we have a system where you and your doctor take care of your health? And all the regulations, all the government, all the bureaucracy, all the middleman, all the forms, all the paperwork, all that crap that the government thinks they need gets taken out of the equation. And you and your doctor figure out what is best to handle your problems. I know, radical idea, isn't it? Radical idea that your privacy, your health, be kept private and between you and the person who's treating you. But we don't get that anymore. We're not expected to have privacy. And I've heard this so many times before. You know, when you're out in public, you can't expect privacy. Now, let me make one thing clear on this. I can understand if you're talking about, I'm walking down the street with my wife, and you just happen to be walking within earshot, and you hear our conversation, then yeah. I can understand you, as a private citizen, hearing things in public that is a private conversation between two other people. But that's not what I'm talking about here. You know, if you just happen to be walking by as somebody takes a picture of a tourist attraction that you happen to be, you know, walking past, that's not what I'm talking about. This is, you know, private people doing private things and just happen to be capturing public, you know, capturing these moments in public. What I'm talking about here is the government collecting data, listening in on conversations, viewing us when they shouldn't be. Let's use Google as an example. Google is a private company. Sure, they have their faults. They've got a lot of faults. But they're still a private company. If I want to deal with Google as a company, and I read that they're going to share my data with other entities, then I have the right to say, yeah, I want to deal with Google, or no, I don't, I'll find somebody else. The idea that the government has access to my data that I gave to Google, because now it is quote-unquote public information, is ludicrous. Now, I know, people will say, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that that information is not private, that it is public, so the government does have access to it. But there's something you really need to understand. Let me put it to you this way. A lot of people think Barack Obama is wrong about things. And they're correct. A lot of people said that Bush was wrong about things that he did during his presidency. And they're correct. Because the executive branch is not immune from being wrong. Congress has passed a lot of bad laws. 435 representatives, another 100 senators, they've done some pretty stupid things because the legislative branch is not immune from making mistakes. Now, if the executive branch can be wrong, and the legislative branch can be wrong, why do we always put the judicial branch on some kind of infallible pedestal? The Supreme Court has ruled that if I give my information to Google, that the government has the right to that data. And they're wrong. They made a mistake. Just like any other group of human beings, they used bad judgment. So, just because the Supreme Court said that the government has access to your information, that doesn't mean that they're right. And you really need to get over that mindset if we're ever going to make any kind of headway with these idiots in government. They don't have any right to interfere with our private dealings. Which leads me to one final thing about my vacation last month. On the way back, of course, we're flying home, which you know what that means. Yes, we had our nice, fun little play date with the TSA. So, we're in line at the airport, and it's a Friday night. It's kind of a long line. I've been through a lot worse. But as we're waiting in line, there's this one particular TSA agent. I swear, he was just getting on my nerves. I'm sure he's got a Napoleon complex because I'm 5'6" and I'm taller than he is. And he's one of those guys that works out And you know he works out because he holds his arms away from his body just to make him look a little bit more buff, a little bit tougher. One of those guys. Dum, 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 dum. He's walking around in his best little man, I'm an authority voice, saying, all your liquids need to be in a clear plastic bag. If you do not have your liquids in a clear plastic bag, you will be responsible for delaying this line. And he says it, and we're in line for like 15 minutes. I heard him say it at least 10 times. You're responsible, blah, blah, blah. No. You're responsible. You and your little quasi-Gestapo police force, with your stupid little rules, being afraid of a fucking little bottle of shampoo, is what's holding up this line. And again, you're gonna get the people that will tell you, well, you know, if these rules prevent another 9/11, then they're worth it. We should have this security in our airports. Let's make one thing really clear with this. When these rules fail to prevent another 9/11, these little men with their Napoleon complex and their pettiness and their desire to control, all of them will once again come to you and expect you to relinquish more of your freedom in order to give you the illusion of safety. How many more of your rights are you going to sacrifice to their great altar? How many more of your freedoms are you going to sacrifice to their great idol of big government? It's going to happen again, you know. A terrorist attack. I don't want it to happen. I remember 9/11 vividly. The kind of day it was. That numbness you felt. People say that America lost its innocence that day. No. No, we lost our ignorance. Or rather, we lost some of our ignorance. Americans, by and large, still ignorantly believe that the government can take away your rights and trade it for safety. It's not going to happen. We're going to be attacked again. And when it happens, government is going to come back and they're going to want to take more of our rights. At some point, if we don't say no, they're just going to keep taking them. They're going to find a way to scare us. They're going to find a way to make it more difficult for us to live our lives unless we relinquish more control. And it's all smoke and mirrors. An illusion. I know I've said this before. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the last podcast. That all this regulation is like a gated community. Anybody who really wants in just has to be patient enough and they can slip in. Just like with all this regulation, all this illusion of safety. If anybody really wants to buck the system, they'll find a way to do it. No matter what system we as a people, as a nation put into place, it's going to get exploited. People are going to get hurt. People are going to die. The bad guys will find a way to get in and hurt us. So, if any system is going to have those kind of problems, why should we allow a system that not only has the flaws, but takes away our rights as well? And when you have a centralized system of government, it's like painting a big old target on it. If you can hit the target, you can screw the whole system. That's why the idea was to be decentralized. To have a federal government with very concise and limited powers, and then have the states handle their own business. And the states can tinker around and find out what works and find out what doesn't. And eventually the best ideas rise up and win the day. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, of course, what will happen is when you have those 50 experiments, some of those experiments are going to go wrong. Case in point, last year with North Carolina, you had a group of voters, a majority, who thought that they could force their morality onto other people. In this case, it was banning people of the same gender who wanted to get married to be able to do so. Now, that's wrong. It goes against your natural right to love who you want to love, to enter into a private contract with whomever you want. So we're going to have those kind of problems in those 50 experiments. And that is the only time when government should really be getting involved, is when you have those situations where a wrong is being committed and you need to have some kind of authority to say, no, you can't do that. And the supreme law of the land is the Constitution, and it grants you the rights to live your life the way you want to, so butt the hell out, people. And that goes not only with things like in North Carolina with the gay marriage, but it also has to do with all these people who want to tax you to death. Literally. You know, if you have the right to love who you want to love, then you should have also the right to keep the fruits of your labor. Because they are all a product of yourself. Your love, your labor, your work ethic. You should be allowed to do what you want with it. But instead, what we have is this burden, this onus of government, rules, and regulations, and laws, and layers that go on seemingly forever. And I've got the answer. People don't want to hear it, but I've got it. And the answer is the same thing that I would say to the National Football League. What? Yes, the National Football League. For those of you who aren't up on sports, the big thing going on in the NFL this year is we're having all kinds of problems with illegal hits. The defense is hitting offensive players, and what was legal before is now illegal, and the NFL has all these new rules and regulations, and sometimes they're being enforced, and sometimes they're not, and it's a real shitty situation. Not just for the players, but for the people trying to watch a sporting event where you don't even know if the calls are going to be consistent. The reason why is because there's been so many injuries, and there is now a history that they're showing of concussions that have damaged players' brains. So I've got the answer. The answer is not more rules and regulations by the NFL. The answer is not more padding on the players. The answer is less padding on the players. Leave them more vulnerable. Now that seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But here's why. When you have all that padding, you have this false sense of security that you can just collide into another player at full force and everything will be okay. And that's not the way it happens. When you have less padding, like they do in, say, rugby or Australian rules, then you have to learn how to tackle somebody. You have to learn how to do it in a way that it's not going to injure them or injure you. Now here's the funny thing. In rugby and in Australian rules, you still have injuries. You still have pretty serious injuries sometimes. But it's not as bad as in the NFL. Why? Because there's less padding. And it's the same thing with government. When you have all these rules and regulations, all people do is just exploit them and think that they can just do whatever the hell they want and government's going to protect them. That's why we have all these giant corporations that are just massive failures, but they know they can keep on being that way because their pals in the government's going to bail them out. Or the farmers who are getting subsidies for growing nothing. What the hell kind of situation is that? No. Get rid of the government regulation. And people will realize that they've got to be responsible for themselves. Get rid of the subsidies. Get rid of... Just get down to the bare bones of it. Just strip away all this foolishness, and you will see a bunch of people who now realize, oh my gosh, our big old tough allies in the government aren't going to be there to protect us anymore. Guess we have to really work now. It's not going to be easy. It's going to freak people out. It's going to scare people because they're actually going to have to fly solo, so to speak. But it can be done. You don't want more government control. You want less. And when you have less government control and you teach people how to handle themselves, you're not going to have the same problems. We can do this. We really can. But if we don't, then we're just going to fall deeper and deeper into this hole that so many others have warned us about. This hole of government control and totalitarianism that saps our freedoms and tells us how to live our lives. I don't want that. I've got too many donuts in my future. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.